Today's message is entitled Holiness in Food, Part 2. And we are going to speak about clean and unclean creatures that God has created. What are those that we can eat? And what are those we can't eat? We are now going into the study of God's, what H.T. Spence calls, the goodly commands of holiness that is associated with food, with disease, and with other personal aspects of the individual. In other words, God is very concerned with your individual habits. God is very concerned about your individual lives. God is very concerned about the various aspects of your Christian walk. And here you see the Lord giving His commandments concerning food. What are we to eat? And what should not the Israelites eat? And you would be asking this question, how is God so definitively commanding to say this we should do, that we cannot do, this we should observe, that we should not observe? Well, why did God do all these things? Why does God seek to provide for us these laws? Well, the Lord wants us to be protected in an environment in which He has created for His own honor, for His own glory. An environment that, as human beings who are, we who are created creatures, may not understand the meaning, the reason why things are what they are. And therefore, the Creator Himself has to speak to us in order that we may be able to understand the significant aspects of how we can live our lives. And you see, God is so marvelously interested, right? And here we are speaking about food, about holiness in the things that goes into our body, what we consume, what we would eat. Now, why is God so concerned about what we eat? Well, because we eat so many meals a day, right? And our well-being is so much related to what we eat, right? We, in the morning you wake up, you're hungry, you begin with your breakfast, perhaps you drink a glass of water or two, and then you, after breakfast, you look forward to perhaps your lunch. And when lunchtime comes, well, in the working environment, sometimes companies provide morning tea. So after your breakfast, you are in the office, maybe 10:30, there is a tea time. So maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you would have your tea. And so there are some snacks which are prepared for you. And there you take a break from the rigors of the morning activity to eat something, to drink something, and then comes lunch time. Lunch is a major meal for some. What to eat today? And then after, between lunch and dinner, you have tea break. That's about 6 hours, and we think about what we will eat for dinner. So for those who are preparing meals, you'll find that you want to think about what to prepare maybe the week before, or the day before, or the day itself. Well, depending on the person's habit, some would like to prepare it when the time comes. There are those who like to plan early in order that their minds will be settled as to what they need to do, what they can do. And so it's a whole big thing, you know, eating, right? Then after dinner, you have your night snack. And what goes into the body, well, affects our health. Last week we said what one feeds on is important to health, strength, and beauty, quoting H.T. Spence. And these dietary regulations related to, well, even sanitary laws carry with it spiritual significance. And the Lord wants us to think, what we feed on spiritually will also be what will be the outcome of our spiritual being. Is that not right? Right. So if we were to eat our breakfast in the morning and then our tea break at 10:30 and our lunch at noon, then our tea break again in the afternoon, and our dinner again in the night, then the night snack again we take in the night. What about our spiritual nourishment? Do we take time to eat? Do we take time to eat or to feed ourselves spiritually? And what is it that, you know, we would feed ourselves upon? The Lord wants us that we be concerned with these things, right? Physical food and the food that would feed our soul. And so for the children of Israel, before they entered in the promised land, even when they were in the wilderness, God gave them these laws. And as we mentioned, it's so interesting that God is able to define all the living creatures that He has made in such a categorically accurate way in order to show us and protect us, protect His people. And so He says, we mentioned the three classification, and today we're going to speak about a little bit more. The land creatures, what are those that are clean, what are those that are unclean? The water creatures, right? Those that are in the sea. And even in our eating, we not only eat meat that is from the on that creatures on land, but we eat sea creatures also, right? Yeah. And so, well, not only the creatures that is in the waters, but the birds that are in the air. And here the Lord gives specific commandments concerning what are those that the children of Israel could eat and what they could not. And from verse 27 to 31, the creeping creatures, lizards, chameleons, moles, we have some pictures here given of the various types of mammals that are classified under these categories, whether they can be eaten or cannot be eaten. But we shall begin from the beginning, from verse 2 to 8, the land creatures. Remember last week we mentioned about the three conditions that were given. Those that parteth the hoof, right? That is, the hoof is the tip of the toe, and here we are speaking about split hoof, right? Split hoof, and cloven-footed. Cloven-footed means a foot that is divided into two parts, right? And those that cheweth the cud, means they regurgitate their food. In other words, the food that they eat, they don't swallow directly into their stomach, They swallow halfway, then they bring it out again, and they continue to chew upon their food before they fully digest it. And so here we are told that there are certain types of animals that we should eat and we shouldn't eat. The camel is unclean because it cheweth the cud and divideth not the hoof. The coney is unclean because it cheweth the cud but divideth not the hoof. The hare is unclean because it cheweth the cud but divideth not the hoof. And the swine, unclean because it cheweth the cud but divideth the hoof and cloven footed. Now, what does it look like? We give you a picture here of the hoof of a swine, right? A pig's leg, right? And this is what it is. Of course, when we eat it cooked, it looks quite different. It looks quite different from what you see here, right? Yeah, and this is one of the, I believe, favorite dishes that some would like to eat, some would like to cook, some would recommend. Well, of course, today we don't have these dietary regulations, right? But the Jews still follow these dietary laws that God gave to them. And so the swine description is given in order to help them to identify what are those type of animals they can eat, what are those they cannot eat. Okay, so it's given there in the classification. And then, so they are to observe the kind of animals, and they are to observe the classification. And it's interesting, right? How do you know how to classify the animals? How to divide them? Only the Creator knows, right? And if you were to study the notes of the Creator, then you will find that, you are given special wisdom as to how God has created. What are the differentiating points of His creation? And from verse 9 to verse 12, you see the sea creatures, right? Sea creatures. Verse 9 says, "These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, and in the rivers, them shall ye eat. And all that hath not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, of all that move in the waters, and of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you." In other words, they are unclean, they are hateful in the sight of God. Not in the sight of God as in, God uses this word to describe certain sins, right, that He hates. And it's the same word that He used to describe those things which are unclean that the Israelites should not consume. And so the clean fishes, sea creatures, are those with fins and scales. Okay, fins and scales. Those which are unclean are those which are without fins and scales. Clean fish have fins. And Spence, he says, "Whatever we take into our lives daily, yearly, must be brought under the scrutiny of these searching truths of God." So what he's saying to us is that, you know, the principle is concerning what we would consume, not just physical consumption, right, but what we would partake as food for our thoughts, food for our mind, food for our soul. There are those that are clean, there are those that are unclean. And so the Lord is saying to us that those things that are unclean, do not partake. Holiness in, well, spiritual food, right? The food that you consume. And then from verse 13 onwards to verse 26, you see last week we simply classified all of it as air creatures, but there are certain more definable classification here from verse 13 to 26, right? And we would like to look at them. What are those unclean birds? From 13 to verse 19, the eagle, the ossifrage, which is what we call the bearded vulture. It's a scavenger, famous for dropping animal bones and live tortoise on the top of rocks to crack them open. These are the predative animals, the flying creatures. The Lord says, don't eat them. The osprey is a type of eagle, like the bald eagle. And we give you a picture there of the type of eagle, the osprey. And the vulture and the kite and the raven and the owl and the night hawk and the cockle and the cuckoo and the hawk and the hawk after his kind and the little owl and the cormorant and the great owl, the swan, the pelican, the gear eagle, the stork, the heron after her kind, the lapwing and the bat. So just about all the classification, the Lord somehow was able to impress upon Moses so that he would write down. Perhaps the children of Israel have not seen some of these animals before. They will only see them perhaps after they get into the promised land. Some of these flying creatures. So God is really very wise, isn't it? Because He is the Creator, and therefore He makes all this, and therefore He's able to show us what are those that are good for us, what are those that are not good for us. And therefore we need to take time to know Him and know His instruction to us, so that we may be able to build habits that will generate healthy spiritual lives, right, or physical lives, right? Because the principles that God teaches us not only genders profit, right, in the spirit, but also in the body. God teaches us to take care of ourselves, right, body and soul. And so the classification, the fowls that creep upon all fours are unclean. Okay, verse 20, verse 24 to 25, the leaping fowls are clean. Okay, the creeping upon the belly type, verse 42, are strictly forbidden. Right, those which whose belly touch the floor as they move, the ground as they move, those are forbidden. Right? Snakes, yeah, the crocodile. Later on you will see the reptiles. The reptiles classified here. Yeah, it's not classified under these. So the pigeon is not under these category of unclean birds that are given there. Okay. And from verse 22, you see that there are certain type of four-legged creatures that you can eat. Okay, verse 22 to 25. The locust, the boar locust, the beetle, the grasshopper—they are clean. They can be eaten. Right? Verse 22 says, even these of them He may eat the locust after his kind, and the boll locust after his kind, the beetle after his kind, and the grasshopper after his kind, and all other flying, creeping things which have 4 feet shall be an abomination unto you. And so there are certain categories that are given there, and for these which are unclean, whatsoever touches the carcass of them shall be unclean, even unto even. So we are not even to touch the dead bodies of these creatures. Right? What is the reason? Well, hygiene. And whatsoever beareth aught of the carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. In other words, they are to make sure that if they were to touch these dead creatures, they have to clean themselves properly after that, and separate themselves from coming to the sanctuary for offering in the tabernacle during those times if they had touched these creatures. Okay. Then from verse 26 to 31, the creeping creatures, right? The carcasses of every beast with divided the hoof, and is not cloven footed, nor cheweth the cud, are unclean unto you. Everyone that touches them shall be unclean. And whatsoever goeth upon his paws among all the manner of beasts that go on all four, those are unclean unto you. Whoso touches their carcass shall be unclean until the even, and he that beareth the carcass of them shall wash his clothes, and not only his body but his clothes also, and be unclean until the evening. They are unclean unto you. And verse 29, these also shall be unclean unto you among the creeping things that creep upon the earth. What are these? The weasel, the mouse, the tortoise, the ferret. What is the ferret? It's a mammal that belongs to the same family as the weasel. Their fur is here is given some description: brown, black, white, or mixed. Well, it's quite a typical color. Okay. And chameleon, lizards. So the crocodile, I think, would be classified under the lizard family. Snail and the mole. A mole are small mammals. Here is given adapted to a subterranean lifestyle. Right? Powerful forelimbs, large paws, adapted for digging. Right? So here is given a picture for us. Of a mole. Okay, this is a picture of a mole. This is how it looks like. Right? So the paw, we mentioned, the paw is used for digging. And then, from verse 32 onwards to verse 40. To verse 40 is given the law concerning the cleanliness in when one comes into contact with these things, and the way by which the Lord would classify cleanliness is such that even the vessels that touch these carcasses or these animals are considered contaminated. Okay, they are considered contaminated. And so Spence, he says, when a thing is wrong and evil, man must keep his distance from the matter. Courting its nearness is the snare that finally catches the person in the deeper sin of it all. It is illustrated in the observation, the difference between a drink and a drunk is a simple or is simply time, right? You take a drink and you know what happens later, a drunkard, right? It's a matter of time. So what we consume matters, right? Those things of holiness, what those things of uncleanness, the Lord wants us to make a separation, right? And you find that these are very challenging situations for us today, right? You don't want to be antisocial, neither would you want to be in a sense defiling yourself, and therefore there is a proper way by which we can eat and drink that would bring honor to the name of God, and therefore we are careful, right? Because we do not want to give a wrong impression that certain thing is all right, right? For the father who and the child who sees, you find that there is a difference, right? The child, well, may or may not know what is how to handle, and therefore they are affected. From verse 41 to verse 43 is given the creeping things, right? Every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth shall be an abomination. It shall not be eaten. Whatsoever goeth upon the belly, we have mentioned before, whatsoever goeth upon all four, whatsoever hath more feet than all creeping things that creep upon the earth, them ye shall not eat, for they are an abomination. Ye shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall ye make yourselves unclean with them, that ye should be defiled thereby. There is one kind of flesh of men, right? Nature starts at the thought of eating this, and none of it but such as have arrived at the highest degree of barbarity, and it become but one remove from brutes. Therefore, there needed no law against it. Well, this is what Matthew Henry says. But there is one kind of flesh of beasts, concerning which the law directs here, another for fish, another for birds, another for creeping things, and things that creep upon the earth, or flying creeping things, right? The classification there from verse 20 to 28, and from verse 29 onwards, the creeping things that are upon the earth. So what is the reason for all these laws that the Lord gave? Verse 44, I am the Lord your God, and ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves. In other words, sanctify means to make holy, to make separate, sacred. And ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourself with any manner of creeping things that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beast, and of the fowl, and of every living creature that moveth in the waters, and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference between the clean and the unclean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. Therefore, we must note well the habits of our lives, the things of our mind and hearts. Feed upon, indicate exactly what we see, Spence says. These things are written to make a difference between the clean and the unclean. that each of God's people might, by His grace, be holy. Amen. May the Lord help us.